we're starting a new series called Clash of the Kingdoms. Clash of the Kingdoms. And as we start this series, I want to offer a disclaimer, okay? Y'all ready for a disclaimer? I just want us to be all on the same page. And this is good stuff for you to know, especially if it's your first time. So we can get all on the same page. We can't go through this series without a good foundation that we're all working from. And the first thing I need you to know, you can add this and take it in your notes if you want to. The first thing I need you to know is that I love you. I care about you. I want the best for you. And I love the Lord above all. And that means that I'm not going to teach to appease you. I love you guys enough not to do that. And you're like, man, I'm new. Like, this is my first time. Like, how does this guy love me? And if I follow Jesus, one of the main teachings of Jesus is he says, if you follow me, you should love your neighbor as yourself. So if I follow Jesus, I should love the people I come across. And I think true love is being willing to teach all of the Bible, not just the parts that we like, not just the parts that we're willing to say amen to, the parts of the Bible that make us uncomfortable, that kind of maybe call us out on some things that maybe we need to submit to the Lord. Man, the whole Bible's good, though, because it's encouraging and helpful for us to become like Jesus. And we can't become like Jesus if we ignore parts of it. And so I love you, care about you, and I love the Lord enough to not teach to appease you, but to help you step in to what the Lord has for us. And the second thing I need you to know is my goal is to not be the most popular pastor. My goal is not to be the most popular pastor. My goal is to be the most obedient to the Lord pastor I can be. And so with that disclaimer, that means we're going to get into parts of the Bible that may not be comfortable, and that's okay, because even though they're uncomfortable, they're helpful. And we've got to understand that sometimes uncomfortable is very helpful. I go to the gym when I can, and it's not always comfortable, but it's helpful. Amen? Anyone been there before? Comfort is my fourth round of breadsticks at Olive Garden, but that's not always helpful, but it is comfortable. And so we're going to get into this, and this series may be uncomfortable at times, but all I ask of you is genuinely search the Word of God. I'm not asking you to follow me. I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm going to present to you what the Word of God says, and I ask that you follow that, because if I'm trying to follow Jesus, I would not want you to follow me. I would want you to follow Jesus. And so that is the goal of this series, is let's follow Jesus. So we're going to look at John chapter 6. It's hard to follow a guy named Jesus if we don't go over what he teaches. John chapter 6, you can turn there in your Bible, the Bible app. If you don't have either, it's okay. We're going to put the verses up on the screen because we believe the Word of God is active and it applies to our life and we can seek it above all. And as you turn there, I want to say one more thing is that have you guys discovered you can't apply the Word of God if you don't know the Word of God? And that's why knowledge is very powerful. You can't apply something you don't know. But have you also discovered that sometimes you can know something but not apply it? And what happens is sometimes we can know the Word of God, but we don't always apply the Word of God in our life, in our hearts, and usually the barrier between that is personal preference. Don't miss that. The difference between knowing and applying the Bible a lot of times is personal preference. And so let's dig into the Word of God. John chapter 6, verse 10, it says, tell everybody to sit down. Okay, check, we're there, Jesus. We're tracking with you. Jesus said, so they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. So that means with adding in women and children, we got a huge crowd here. Jesus has got a mega church, if you want to say at this point. He's got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. He's drawing the crowd. He's checking the box of what people want nowadays. He's got a huge crowd, right? He's an influencer. And so he's got this huge crowd. And then Jesus took the loaves. He gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. Somebody say amen. And then after everyone was full, underline or highlight that word, after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely, surely he's the prophet we've been expecting. Now look at verse 15. When Jesus saw they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. And maybe you've heard this story before where Jesus feeds the 5,000. He feeds the people who are coming. Have you ever discovered that sometimes you'll come spiritually hungry for something for God in your life, but eventually a physical need comes up as well, and all of a sudden our physical needs start intertwining with our spiritual needs, and they start becoming a little bit messy, and it's hard to decipher between a physical need and a spiritual need. That's what happens with this crowd. They want something spiritual from Jesus, but what they discover is that it's not easy when you miss breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Somebody say amen. You may not have discovered by looking at me, but I am a man who's a firm believer in all three meals of the day. I don't know that I found that in Scripture, but if it was there, I'd say amen. I like all three meals of the day, but sometimes I got to fast to try to follow what Jesus teaches. And so they take 5 loaves and a couple fish, because 5,000 people, not including the women and children, are all physically hungry, even though they came with a spiritual reason to Jesus. And Jesus says, well, what do we have available? And they take 5 loaves and a couple fish. That's all they have. And if you do the math quickly, that's not enough to feed everybody, right? All right, if you think that's enough, we cannot have dinner together because I'm concerned about the portions at that point. You're like, that sounds good. That checks out. 5 loaves, 5,000 people, that checks out. I'm concerned. But if you're like me and you're like, I got some worries, and Jesus says, that's okay, I'm going to pray and bless it, and all of a sudden it feeds everybody, and they ate until they were full. That's a miracle. And this goes off in the minds of everybody who realizes Jesus performs a miraculous sign, and now after they've had a physical need met, what do they try to do with Jesus? They try to force him to be their king. Do we live in a world sometimes where we want to see somebody meet our physical need and that's who we're going to force into power? Maybe elect, hopefully in a couple weeks, is somebody who can meet the physical needs we have, the physical desires we have. Jesus shocks the crowds who, after they get to eat until they're full and there's leftovers, they come and present to him, you can now be our king. And his response is to slip away. That's so interesting to me. Doesn't he have everything that we as humans would want? He's now got a huge crowd. He's got all these people who are listening to him. He's got the people who want him to be king now. And he rides up into a chariot and takes the role. Actually, he declines and goes off by himself. It's so odd. They want him to be their king because Jesus met a physical need. They want him to be king because Jesus met a physical need, and they want to anoint him as their physical king. And why does he pass that up? Because, right, we sing worship songs about King Jesus. We talk about King Jesus. And then the people finally offer for you to become King Jesus, and his response is to leave? Makes no sense. But it's because this moment reveals there's a clash of the kingdoms. There's more than one kingdom. They offer him the role as king of the physical world, but Jesus has come as a king of a different kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. It's interesting to me, as I was praying and reading through this, you know, we as humans are willing to make Jesus to be the leader we want when we get what we want. We as humans are willing to make Jesus be the leader we want as long as we get what we want. And maybe you're here today and you're looking for Jesus to do something in your life. And the good news is we just read Jesus is a miracle worker. But sometimes we only want him when we get what we want. And then I read this and I was praying and thinking, it's so interesting to me that basically after they get all their physical needs met, their offer to Jesus is a demotion. Jesus offers them all this food, they get their fill, and they're offered to him as, Jesus, we offer you to be our physical king. If Jesus had taken that position, it'd be a demotion from the role he already has. Because I'm here to tell you, the physical world is not on par with the spiritual world. The physical world is not on par with the spiritual world. And those are two different kingdoms, and they're colliding, and they're clashing, and they're at work against each other right now. And their offer is, come be our physical king. But Jesus says, if I took that role, it'd be a demotion from the role I already have. Amen, my daughter. They offer him a demotion. Can I ask, is what you're really asking of Jesus in your life a demotion from the role he already has? Is what you're really offering Jesus in your life, is it a demotion from what he already has, which is the King of Heaven? We have an election coming up, if you didn't know. If you found a rock to live under, praise God, maybe you can afford it in this housing market. There's an election coming up, and what's happened inside of our Christian faith and society, especially in this country, is we started to intertwine physical needs and physical kingdoms and physical authority with spiritual kingdoms to the point where we really can't decipher between the two. We can't really figure out the difference between the worldly kingdom and the spiritual kingdom because it all kind of bleeds together to us. But Jesus shows in John chapter 6 they're not the same thing. He turns down their offer to be their physical king because it'd be a demotion from the role he already has in the kingdom of heaven. And I get it. I got political opinions. My wife and daughter have to listen to them every time I got to watch another political commercial. I got some opinions. You guys got some opinions? I got some opinions. I got some opinions because the people we elect affect the world that I have to live in, that you have to live in. It's affecting our physical world in a lot of different ways, and so I got a lot of opinions. But there's a difference between the worldly kingdom and the kingdom of heaven. You don't believe me? The disciples come to Jesus, and they ask this question, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And some of you guys know this. Maybe you've ever even memorized the prayer. What does Jesus teach them in the prayer? He says, Lord, your kingdom come, your... That's so interesting. Jesus didn't teach them, pray for this political party. He said, pray that the kingdom of heaven comes and moves in this world. That's what Jesus said to pray. And if you don't know your history, that's okay. I'll drop it on you. I was a history major for a year. Love me some history. The Roman government was wicked and corrupt at the time. Don't believe me? That's the Roman government who's going to crucify Jesus. So if someone had a motive to maybe pray, we need a different leader than who I got right now in the Roman kingdom, it'd be Jesus because they're going to crucify him. And his teaching of prayer is, your kingdom come, Lord. You want to know why? Because we can elect all the physical world leaders we want, and it's not going to bring change to our soul. Yeah, the political leaders may make a better world for us to live in. Absolutely. Why do you think I'm a voting? Why do you think I got political opinions? Because it affects the world we live in. But let me ask, Christians, when did the gospel become not enough? When did the gospel become not enough to pierce into somebody's heart, mind, and soul and radically change who they are? When did we start needing a political person involved with the gospel process? It doesn't matter who we elect because they don't have the power to change the evil, wickedness living in the human soul. The good news is there is a kingdom that can do that. It's the kingdom of heaven. And the leader of the kingdom of heaven isn't even up for election this coming November. He's already sitting on a throne that's been established before our life and will be there until after our life if he doesn't return in our lifetime. The good news is the gospel is still enough to change the brokenness, sinful nature of humanity. But real talk is we don't always give off that vibe anymore as Christians, do we? We don't always give off that vibe that the gospel's still enough to change the brokenness, the love of self, the evil things that humanity loves right now. We kind of give the vibe that we need a certain president to get in and they'll fix things. I'm here to declare to you, Jesus passed on being our physical king to actually be the king we need to change our soul. And maybe we need to get back to proclaiming the gospel as the answer for the wickedness that lives in the hearts of human beings. We live in a day and age where there's a lot of wickedness and sin that exists, but the gospel is still the good news that can change that. And I'm not saying that the election's not important. I'm not saying you shouldn't vote. I'm going to be voting, and I think you should too. We live in an interesting time where this election coming up is actually one of the easier times to research the candidates. In case you didn't know, both of our political candidates right now have already spent time in the White House. And so you can actually look at their track record of what they've actually done in the time in the White House. It's not maybe we'll see what they're thinking or maybe what they'll do. Each candidate has already spent 4 years in the White House. It's pretty clear what they want to do. It's not hard to research this time around. You can spend 5-10 minutes and figure out where they are, what they stand for, what they want to do if they were to be elected, and then pray through that. But I'm here to tell you, neither of those candidates has the ability, our power, our authority to change the wickedness that lives in the hearts of humans. They can maybe enact some laws that can change the physical reactions, but Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven is what can change the depravity of our souls. And that's what we need as humans, is the kingdom of heaven to come move in the hearts of humans. That's what we need. And the good news is the gospel says that can still happen. But the proclaimers of the good news, Paul, by the way, writes that Christians are supposed to be the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. If the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven aren't proclaiming the good news, who is? That's on us, if we call ourselves a Christ follower. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, or maybe you're like, I don't want to hear any more of these Bible verses. I don't like them. I don't like what they're doing in my heart. I don't like what they're doing in their mind. And I don't like this guy, and I'm looking for a rock or a tomato, and I'm just hoping you didn't grow up playing baseball. You know what I'm saying? Or softball for the ladies in the house. I don't know. Maybe you grew up playing. I played baseball with a girl through middle school. She could strike you out. She was a baller. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they only think about this life here on earth. It's crazy how something written thousands of years ago still applies spot on to today, right? That's the word of God. But, Paul says in verse 20, but we are citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven. Underline or highlight that. Where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we eagerly await for him to return as our Savior. And he'll take our weak, mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring, underline or highlight this word, everything under his control. That sounds like good news. But Paul says, can I tell you, you're a citizen of heaven if you claim to follow Jesus Christ. You're a citizen of heaven. If we're a citizen of heaven, are we trying to have dual citizenship with the world as well? You going to find that in the New Testament? Some of you are like, I don't know. Let me look. I'll save you the time. No. Your calling according to the New Testament is not to try to figure out dual citizenship with this world. If you say you follow Jesus Christ, it means our citizenship is part of a different kingdom that is part of the kingdom of heaven. And the good news about the kingdom of heaven is the King Jesus says, I'm going to come back and put everything under my control. Some of us are so passionate about a kingdom of this world that's actually about to go away when the kingdom of heaven arrives. The kingdom of heaven is above all the kingdoms of this world. All of them. You could band every worldly leader together, and they could not stand against the kingdom of heaven. They're different powers, and they're different kingdoms. Sometimes people try to ask me trap questions. It's not a trap question, but it is. And they're like, Pastor Phil, who are you going to vote for in this election? Or Pastor Phil, are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Or are you for this candidate or that candidate? And I know what they're really saying is, I just want to make sure you at least align with me on the political things of this world, and then I'll decide if you're good or not. And so part of me wants to tell them because I do got opinions. But my answer back to that question is wrong kingdom. Wrong kingdom. You want me to have my identity in a worldly kingdom, but I'm not a citizen of these kingdoms, according to the Word of God. I'm a citizen of heaven if I follow Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, I will be voting because I think and believe after researching certain candidates, there's one that's better than the other. But my identity is not found in any of these worldly kingdoms anymore. Because Jesus Christ looked down at my broken, sinful nature and rescued me from the death of sin. And now my citizenship is in heaven. Thank Jesus. Where's your citizenship found? Is it in a worldly political system or the kingdom of heaven? Because it's not both. And Paul outlines in Philippians 3 that there's this fork in the road for all of humanity. And at the fork in the road, there's this dividing point, and it's the cross of Jesus Christ. And he says there's one path that veers off from the cross, and it leads us to be people who have our God as an appetite. We brag about shameful things, and we think only about what's going on here in this earth, and we're consumed by the things of this earth, whether we convince ourselves that they're beyond that or not. And then he says, actually, because of the cross, there's now this new path for humanity. There's a different way than just that. And this way is to become a citizen of heaven, an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, and to give our life to follow Jesus Christ. The cross was this defining point for all of humanity. And that's good news. Can I tell you, though, about that cross? That Jesus didn't die on the cross to share your soul. Jesus didn't die on the cross to share your soul. Jesus didn't die on the cross to share your soul. And I may be crazy, but I'm not stupid, depending on who you ask. And I know when I say that, there's pushback. And I just want to understand that if we were sitting across the table having coffee, I'd listen to your response because I think listening is caring. It doesn't mean I agree, but I care. And then here would be my response to your rebuttal. Matthew 22. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. But Matthew 22, verse 36 says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Verse 37, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Direct quote, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you really want to come follow me, the first, greatest, most foundational commandment, if you want to say you follow Jesus, is we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Does that leave room for anything or anybody else? But somewhere along the lines, we started adding some stuff in that we need somebody else besides Jesus. Maybe we wouldn't put it that way, we wouldn't say it that way, but we live that way. What do you really value in your heart? Is it things of this world? Are the teachings of Jesus? What do you really value in your soul? The depths of your soul, what do you really value? The things of this world or the teachings of Jesus? I was praying through this message and working through it, and I felt like the Lord gave me this illustration. And in this illustration, like, I saw this line of sheep. And like, this line was, like, longer than the longest line at Disneyland. You know what I'm saying? You're like looking for how long is this line? I said, Lord, like where's this line lead? Like what is everybody lined up for? Where is this going? I can't even see the front of this line, all these sheep. And he took me to the front of the line and he showed me all these sheep were in line to lay themselves down at the altar of politics. I said, Lord, like why don't we tell them? I mean, we're supposed to lay our life down. Romans chapter 12 says to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, but it's not to anything besides the Lord. Why don't we tell them where this line leads. Like, if they're back there where we were at, you can't even see where this leads. Why don't we tell them? And he said, they don't want to hear it. One of the defining factors, if you go read the Old Testament, as the Lord led the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, one of the things that ends up getting described of them is they're stiff-necked. And I wonder, do we fight the same temptation nowadays? Or maybe the Lord beckons to us to come back and follow him alone with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But we've given ourselves to another idol. I genuinely believe that we as humans, we all lay our life down for something. We all lay our life down for something. It may be your spouse, it may be your kids, it may be a really good thing, it may be your family, it may be your work, it may be money, it may be career, it may be a certain political party, it may be a certain politician, it may be Jesus, it may be yourself. But we all lay our life down for something. You want to get more specific, we all lay our life down for somebody. Others, ourself, or Jesus. We all lay our life down for something or somebody. Who are you laying your life down for right now? Because if we follow the teachings of Jesus, we would love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'm going to close with Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, if you want to turn there. If not, it's okay. We're going to put the verses up on the screen again because we believe the Word of God applies to our life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Have you guys experienced anything that causes a little bit of fear in your heart lately? Have you guys experienced anything that causes a little anxiety in your heart lately? Have you guys experienced anything that causes a little anger in your heart lately? Not you, me, probably. I mean, I don't know how many more political ads I can watch without getting some anger all up in my heart. Look at the circumstance. Yeah, I go to the grocery store and I can tell you I get a little bit of anger in my heart. I start thinking maybe in my role as a leader and pastor that maybe the things that are in front of me that are on my plate and I've got to figure out and I've got to have an answer for, I've got to have the answer for, what happens is fear starts to creep in my heart. Maybe as you look at the election or the things on your plate or as a parent or as a spouse or as a worker, the things that you are having on your plate start to cause fear or anxiety or anger. Maybe we're here as a society. Do those emotions sound like something that would exist, though, if we trusted in the Lord with all of our heart? That's convicting to me. And maybe that's weird for you to hear a pastor admit, but pastor is a job title. My identity is a follower of Jesus. And I need Jesus just like you do. And I understand that a sermon like this can be career suicide in the world we live in. Because you can build a following and platform if you talk about certain things and support certain people. But this isn't a career to me, it's a calling. And I'm not here to support anybody besides the one who changed my life, and that's Jesus Christ. And I believe enough that Jesus is the answer for what's going on in your soul to preach him and him alone. And there is a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety, and there's a lot of things that are going on that can be easily concerning to our hearts. And maybe like you're like me and you wrestle with those things. But you see, if I trust in the Lord with all of my heart and I don't depend on my own understanding, peace can exist. And I can promise you, if we had to lean on the understanding of Philip Kite, you guys should be fearful and anxious. If we had to lean on my understanding, we would be in trouble. If we had to lean on your understanding, we should also be fearful and anxious. The good news of the Bible is if we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and we don't lean on our own understanding and we seek His will in all that we do, the Bible says the Lord will show us the path to take. He'll show us where we need to go in this life. He's willing to lead us. Sometimes I have to remind myself of that truth, though. And I want to share with you guys three things I say out loud when I'm battling fear or anxiety or anger or worried about the things that are going on in this world or worried about the election or worried about the candidate I'm like going to get elected. And I'll share the things that I say out loud, and maybe it's encouraging or helpful for you. The first thing I say is God's plan is bigger than my plan. Maybe I sit at my desk or driving in my car or it's after the third political commercial I had to watch. God's plan is bigger than my plan. God's plan is bigger than my plan. And then 2 minutes later, when I think about something else, I got to say it again. God's plan is bigger than my plan. And then the second thing I say out loud is God's plan is better than my plan. God's plan is better than my plan. And if I'm able to get those two things out and start finding peace in the Lord, I get to a third thing I say out loud. And it's not easy. The third thing is God's plan is beyond my understanding, and that is okay. God's plan is beyond my understanding, and that is okay. Because I don't know about you, but what I experience in life is there's times where I would do it differently. Have you ever experienced that before? You ever been at your workplace, or maybe you're a kid growing up in a household with parents, and some of you guys who are parents, maybe you forgot what it was like to be kids and kids. You'll understand one day when you're older. You know, we would do it differently, right? And as Christians, we would never say this out loud, probably, right? Because we would never say, I would do it differently than God. We would never put it that way, right? No, some of y'all are still angry I talked about politics. That's okay. But the reality is sometimes I would admit, if I'm honest, and God already knows my hearts and my thoughts, so I might as well be honest, I would do it differently. But I'm here to tell you, as long as I follow Jesus, Jesus has never sat me down and been like, actually, Philip, can I ask your opinion? How would you do it? The only reason the world's still existing right now is because Jesus does not ask my opinion on how to do it. His plan is bigger than my plan, His plan is better than my plan, and His plan is beyond my understanding, and that is okay. Have you ever discovered, though, maybe you've encountered something that's made you angry? Maybe you've encountered injustice in this world. Maybe you've encountered grief in this world. Maybe you've encountered really hard things in this world, and it's not easy to say something like, God's plan is beyond my understanding, and that's okay. Maybe you've gone through some things that have made it very difficult to say that phrase. Can I teach you a bonus phrase? Free of charge. The bonus phrase that I say out loud is, I don't agree, but I trust you, Lord. I don't agree, but I trust you, Lord. And before you label me as a heretic, go read Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Admitting that I'm not going to depend on my own understanding does not make me a heretic. And if God already knows my hearts and my minds, why am I going to try to pretend to be this pious person that is always agreeing with everything that's happening in the world? Do you agree with everything that's happening in the world? Okay, well then let's simmer down and not act like we agree with everything that's happening in the world. And maybe be okay being honest with God, going, I don't agree with everything that's happening in the world. I don't agree with what the plan is looking like right now. I don't agree with my circumstances. I don't agree with what I'm going through. But Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, I should trust you anyway. And so, Lord, what I'm going to do is ask that you help my mind and my heart get back into rhythm with truth. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you watch enough Fox News or CNN or enough TikTok, what's going to happen to you is your heart and mind is going to get out of rhythm with truth. You call me crazy? Just step back and watch. I can point out somebody who says they're a Christian, but they watch Fox News or CNN for 9 hours a day. And their heart and their mind is so far out of rhythm with truth, they're all fearful, anxious, or angry. And I'm like, where did you find that in Scripture? I see somebody who spent 17 hours on TikTok lately. And they got 54 different theories they need to tell me about. And I'm like, could we spend that 17 hours in the Word of God? Because I think your heart and mind would be at a different place. I don't agree, but I trust you, Lord, because I need to trust you with all my heart, and I need to not depend on my own understanding. And we live in a world right now where we see injustice, we see evil, and we see brokenness. I don't know where you're at if you're missing that. We live in a world where we're not going to agree with everything, and we have to face the fact, do we trust in Scripture enough to say, Lord, I trust in you, and I will not depend on my own understanding. I'll seek you above all, and I believe you will show me the path to take in this life. And when my heart and my mind get out of rhythm with that truth, I will confess it and ask you to bring my heart and mind back into alignment with you, Jesus. Because I think if we could all get back into alignment with Jesus, we could all share that we don't have to live in fear and anxiety and anger in this world. That there is actually still the good news of the gospel where peace can pierce down to our very souls and change who we are as people. And that is something this world needs. This world, the people you go to school with, the people you work with, the people at the grocery store, even people right here today, we need the good news that King Jesus, his kingdom can come and change our heart and our very soul, and we don't have to live life in fear and anger and anxiety. There's peace. But do we really love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind? Or are we asking Jesus to share parts of our soul with other things? So I want to close out in prayer. And I just want you to ask, Lord, is there anything that needs to change in my heart and my mind to come into alignment with your word? Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll come and speak to us. Lord, help us with our hearts and our minds that can get out of rhythm with truth, because the world we live in is difficult, it's broken, it is sinful, it's hard watching so many circumstances that we don't agree with, and we don't even understand the plan sometimes. Jesus, please help us trust you. Show us the path to take. Help us to be people who make an impact in the world around us, because we need the kingdom of heaven to move today. We need the kingdom of heaven to move today, because the kingdom of this world is not bringing healing. We need you to move. So please move in our hearts, in our minds, in our very souls, Jesus, because we need you above all. And then help us walk in that truth, where even if we don't agree, even if we don't understand, we will trust in you, Lord, with all of our heart and not depend on our own understanding. And Jesus, I pray that we will lay our life down as a sacrifice for you, Jesus, alone. Work in and through our life to make an impact in the world around us, to bring peace to anger, to bring hope to fear and anxiety. Jesus, help us be people who trust in you and you alone. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen.